4. And project 2, leveraging current marketing. Yeah, maybe we need to turn the light on that, on the switch on the side there. Oh, I know. When it gets there, it's all like that, yeah. 4, project number 2, leveraging current marketing for increased revenue and profit. Page 1, after your client's unique selling proposition is established, the attention of the 21st century marketing system needs to turn towards leveraging current marketing efforts. Now, this portion of the system focuses on areas of marketing that's often neglected and overlooked by many business owners. And that is, the 21st century marketing system is unique in that it focuses on leveraging from marketing assets currently available to the business rather than always focusing on the acquisition of new customers. Now, you know what I mean by that? This is where we improve. Huh? That's a good USP right there. Yeah, that's a good USP right there. And that's exactly what we do. And by leveraging existing marketing and doing a better job with the things that they're already doing, then you can get some rather dramatic growth without having to go out and invest a whole lot of money to do it. And there's two critical pieces of information that we need to know about in order to be able to do this. And the first one, of course, is the closing ratio. Okay, and who can tell me what closing ratio means? What is closing ratio?
Number of people that you actually sell as opposed to the number of people that come through your door.
Okay, the number of people you actually sell versus the number that come through the door. Now, virtually every business has a closing ratio of some kind. Some businesses, the closing ratio may actually be 100%. Okay, for example, McDonald's restaurant, closing ratio is probably 100%. Most people don't go in there just to browse, okay? They're going to go in there and they're going to eat. But in most businesses, the closing ratio is usually something less than 100%. So that's a critical piece of information that you need to have. And, you know, I hope that you guys, just after the last few days of seeing this whole process, can see the importance of a closing ratio. Unfortunately, most business owners really have never thought about this. They really have no concept, and have never really thought about it. Now, some have, but most haven't. Okay, most business owners, when you even talk about the subject of closing ratio, they really don't have any idea what you're even talking about in many cases. Okay, so that brings up another important point. You have to explain and teach this concept to your client. Now, oftentimes the best way in which I have found to explain and teach this concept very easily is simply to ask the client, hey, if you make 10 contacts, or if 10 people come in your business, or you make 10 phone calls, or, you know, 10 leads come in, how many of those 10 will end up buying on an average? Oh, well, I think 4 out of 10 would. Okay, so the closing ratio would then be 40%. Okay, now the other critical piece of information that you need to have is the average ticket or the initial purchase amount and the average customer worth. Now, what is the difference between average ticket versus average customer worth?
The average ticket is the average sale that's made day to day, and customers may come back 3 or 4 times in a year, so they're worth more than the average ticket sale.
Right. Average customer worth is the amount that a customer is worth, typically measured over a 12-month time period. Okay, average sale is how much they spend each time they come into the business. Okay, now this is both of these things are critical pieces of information that need to be looked after, need to be managed, need to be monitored on an ongoing basis. You know, one of the things I always tell our clients and you know their managers is that you lead people and you manage activity. Okay, now when you're talking about managing the activity of a sales force, what is the activity that you're managing? Well, you're managing the selling process, but what are the two critical pieces of data that you need to manage and need to monitor and need to track? Closing rate and average ticket. Okay, closing rate and average ticket. Those are the two critical things that you manage, because if you manage those two pieces of data and are constantly striving to improve those, then overalls are going to go up. Now, I'll tell you also that as consultants here, and as you start working with your clients, and you obviously want to help them see the quickest results possible, they want to see the quickest results possible, typically this is the project that does it. And this is the project that typically shows them immediate, dramatic results. And so that's why it's number two, okay, right after unique selling proposition, because, you know, we start doing this, and typically they're going to see, you know, dramatic results. Now, why would that be the case? Why would clients or why would a business see dramatic results simply by working in these areas?
Increase your closing rate. Increase your customer worth, you're obviously going to increase the bottom line.
That's right. You're working on those two variables, and you can see immediate impact.
Without
additional expense. If you have a sales guy that's now closing 20%, but you're able to better train him on integrating the unique selling proposition into his sales presentation, and he improves just a little bit. Instead of closing 2 out of 10, he closes 3 out of 10. What's going to happen to the overall sales? Nope. It's gone up 50%. It's gone up 50%. Okay? It's gone up 50%. So you can see how, you know, that can give you a real dramatic increase in business. Okay? Same thing with the average customer worth. I mean, if the average customer is now spending, you know, $50, and you're able to get him up to spend $60, well, that's an immediate 20% increase in business, just from a little bit of an improvement. Okay? So these two pieces of data are, you know, very, very important. So on page one here, we're talking about those two concepts. At the bottom, it says many businesses will often overlook the power and tremendous leverage available through sales training and increasing the conversion rate. Why? Because they're focused on traditional marketing methods, which is let's go out and get more prospects, let's see more people, right? The reason that this statistic is so important and the effort to improve it is important is because the profitability of this increase is tremendous, as we have seen up here. Okay. Okay. And you guys want to read this? It gives some different examples of you know the effect of closing ratio and things like that. All right. Page 3, average ticket size. Second piece of information, as we have said, we need to track consistently is average ticket or average customer worth, and how much is that customer going to spend over the course of the year. Whether you're, you know, no matter what kind of a business somebody is in, you know, even I'll give you an example, even a professional. My wife is a dental assistant, and she worked for this dentist who was just really a nice guy. Really, you know, didn't want to give anybody anything they didn't need. And his business, his dental practice business, was consistently going downhill. Even though he had a steady stream of patients, had a steady stream of new patients, and, you know, all kinds of new prospects coming through the door, his gross revenue was consistently going down from where it had been in the past when he took over the business. And my wife worked there for a while and had the opportunity to kind of observe what was going on. And, you know, things would happen like people would come in and they'd say, I'd want to get my teeth bleached. And, you know, that's where they whiten your teeth and all that. It costs $150 for the top and $150 for the bottom. Well, people come in and say, I'd want to have that done. They'd have to say, well, maybe we ought to only do your top right now, you know, and save you $150. So the people wanted to get them both done, he'd talk them out of it. So even in a professional setting, like a dentist or a doctor's office, there's an opportunity here to, you know, improve average customer worth. Now, another dentist that she works for is just the opposite. I mean, he'll put people into things they don't really need, you know. Just does the upselling, exactly. So, you know, there has to be a balance there, but obviously there's opportunities, no matter what kind of profession or business somebody's in, there's opportunities to improve that.
No,
it's actually a guy in the same building, though. They must be friends working together. I don't know. And the thing that's important about these two concepts is, see, these are assets that are already in place. I mean, the business is already paying the salespeople. You know, they already have all this in place. And it doesn't cost any more to, you know, have our closing ratios go up. It doesn't cost any more to have our average customer worth go up. It does cost more to acquire more assets, like acquire more new prospects, you know, to go out and advertise. So this is a very highly leverageable thing to do. And so it's something that you really want to work on and really want to look at, because it's absolutely going to be the most critical thing in terms of getting the immediate results for your clients. And see, that's one of the challenges about the system. The first project is what? What's the first project? USP. Now, USP is a very important project. However, in most cases, the client is not going to see immediate sales increases simply from going through the USP project. Okay? We go through it. We get, some good information as far as now how to build the rest of our marketing plan. But it's not going to see an immediate sales increase, whereas Project 2 does, okay, by improving these two things. Okay, so the first step. Now, remember, as we talked about in the whole 21st century marketing system, there are 4 steps to each project. Okay? Now, the first step in project number 2, and we're on page 9, and I would like you guys to please read all of this background material on pages 1 through 8. But on page 9, step 1 in project 2 is to identify the current prospect to sales process. Okay, what do I mean by the prospect to sales process?
Well, you have to complete a sale and get that person to spend the money in your store.
Okay.
You're determining the number of people coming through your door, suppose the number of prospects, right?
Well, okay. The prospect to sales process is everything that's involved in the process of getting people in, selling them, closing them. It's the whole process, okay? It's everything that might be involved. Give you an example here, okay? I've got a little client that I'm working with now that has created what's called a kids planner. And what the kids planner is, it's like a day planner for elementary school children. So they can keep track of their homework assignments and, you know, make sure that they get done what they need to get done, their chores, their allowance, the whole deal. It's really a neat deal, okay? And she has kind of a unique marketing process that she uses, okay? And what the process is, first of all, she will run a classified newspaper ad. Okay? So that's step one. She runs a classified ad, and the classified ad says, you know, help your child improve their grades and, manage their life. I can't remember what the headlines are. But anyway, she runs these classified ads, inviting people to call into a toll-free number and get a free recorded message. Okay? So the next step then is to call for the message. That's the second step. So people call, they read the ad, then they call in, they get the message, and then if they are interested, after they've heard about it, this 2-minute sales pitch on a recorder, then they're asked to leave their name and address, okay? And Kids Planner will be sent out COD. Okay? And they cost like $24.95. Okay, so that's the sales process. Class ad, call for the message, leave your name, thing is sent out, COD. Now, what you'll want to do in step one here is identify for your client what is the marketing process with the apartment guys we're working with. Okay, the sales process there is, again, they have an ad in the paper, apartments for rent, people call up, get more information, make an appointment, come in, view the apartments, fill out the application, application gets approved or turned down, person moves into the apartment if they're approved. Okay? So that's the sales process. And what you want to try to do is identify each step along the way and determine the ratios that are involved there. Now, the reason why this is really an important thing is because what you want to look for is the smallest number. Let me see. Let me give you another example that might work a little bit better.
The smallest number in the whole link?
The smallest number in the whole link. Let me just make up an example here to make this a little bit easier to see. Okay? Let's say we have a shoe store. Okay? And his sales process is he runs the newspaper ad. Okay? Person sees the ad, comes to store. Okay? Sales presentation. Okay? And then they either buy or don't buy. Okay? That's a pretty simple process. Okay? So, what you want to try to do then is quantify each one of these things. So, let's say that, you know, as a result of the newspaper ad, we get 100 people coming into the store, and after they come in and they go through everything and all that, 30% will actually... But 30% will actually buy, okay? And that 30% will buy an average amount of $50, okay? And then 70% don't buy, okay? Now, in looking at this sales process here, which is the smallest number? 100? 30 or 50? 30. Okay? The rule of thumb is this. Always work on the smallest number first in order to have the greatest impact.
Okay, so if the average sale was $10, for example, with everything else being the same, you'd work on raising the average sale.
That's right. Okay? Let's run some numbers here and see.
Prospects, the closing ratio and the average sale.
That's right. Okay. See, if we look at the smallest number here, the smallest number is 30%. Okay. So if we can improve that, we're going to have greater impact than if we improve this. So let's say we get a, you know, a 10% improvement, or I'll make it easy, let's say a 20% improvement, okay? Well, a 20% improvement here means that this would go up to 36%, okay? So if we had the same 100 buyers or same 100 prospects come in and close 36% versus 30%, we have 36 buyers. Instead of 30 buyers, we have 36 buyers at $50 each, okay? So multiply it out. Take here we'd have 30 times $50, which would be $1,500, or 36 times $50. Is that $1,800? Okay, $1,800, okay? And that's with only a 20% improvement here, okay? What if we had a 20% improvement here? Well, let's see what happens there. 20% of that is 10, so that would be 60. And so 30 times 60 would be 1,800.
He is talking.
You really want to talk to him? I think Wednesday.
Okay.
Okay, I will. Bye.
Jim? Yeah.
I want you to call me.
Okay. We should, all right. Okay, so, anyway, well, that's not a good example there. Anyway, you get the picture. It's going to be easier to get a little bit of an improvement here, go from 30% to 36%, than it is necessarily to go from $50 to $60, okay? Or to get the same thing here, you'd have to go from 100 to 120, okay? So, either way would work out the same. But it's going to typically be easier to get the smaller the number, okay, to get the increase. Does that make sense? Jeff, do you follow what I'm saying?
I do exactly. Do you ever try to take into account, though, this particular number is going to be harder, there's going to be more inertia behind it, if you will.
And that's true. There may be some exceptions, okay? And looking at this...
The same. Give all three numbers.
Okay. Well, I guess in that case you'd have to, look at all the factors, okay, and see, is it going to be easier to get more prospects or raise the closing rate or, whatever. So you'd have to evaluate all those, but rarely are all the numbers going to be, exactly the same, okay? And it's typically easier to get, to bring the smaller number up, which will give them greater impact than bringing up the other number. You see what I'm saying? Okay. So the point being then is that what you want to do is look at that entire process, look at what the ratios are. And obviously we're going to work in all three areas, more prospects, improved closing rate, and average customer worth. But the one that can be the quickest response, give you the most immediate results, is typically going to be the smaller number out of all those. Okay? Say, take a 7-Eleven store as an example, where you have hundreds of people coming in, you have a 100% closing ratio, and the average sale is $1.50. Okay, now that's a real good example. Okay, so you have 100 people coming in, you have 100% closing ratio, and the average sale is $1.50. Well, first of all, this is already 100%, so we can't do anything with that. Which is the smaller number here? Okay, $1.50. Okay, if we brought in, even if we were able to bring in 20 more people, that would only increase sales by how much? $30. Okay? But if we were able to increase the average customer worth from $1.50 to $2, same 100 people, how much money would that bring in? Okay, because you have 100 times an additional 50, which would be $50. So see, you have greater impact there. Yeah, and it's likely easier to raise that 50 cents than it is to bring in the additional people. Okay? So, anyway, this is really kind of an important concept to look at. Which is the smallest number out of all those ratios? And that should be the one that you want to start with and look at first. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, so the first step in the project then is to identify that current marketing process. Look for all those ratios, look for all the, the different ways in which they're generating business, and then, along with that, you set up some kind of a plan for capturing customer information. Why would we want to capture customer information?
We want to start being able to contact those customers in the future.
Right. We want to start building our database, and that because we're going to be using that in project number 3. And also, we're going to be implementing follow-up systems And so it's going to be very important that we know who those customers are and be able to follow up with them. Okay? Well, how can you capture customer information? What are some of the ways in which you can capture customer information?
The easiest and simplest is to have a free draw for something.
Okay, to have a free drawing.
You could have to list their name and address.
Okay.
I guess the other easy way is to ask them.
You could ask them. And absolutely. Just like our guys with the apartments, okay? That's one thing they were not doing. They were not capturing customer information at all. And so consequently, they'd have people call up wanting to, you know, they were interested in apartments. They wouldn't get their name. Person would hang up. They'd have no way of following up, no way of going back and you know, reselling or doing anything else. So one of the first things we did is we said, you've got to ask people for their name and phone number, okay? And so we just designed a little card that a prospect card that the rental agent would fill out on each prospect that came through the door. Okay, look at Radio Shack. I mean, anytime you buy anything at Radio Shack,
I'll tell you, what a pain in the neck. One battery, that's your name, sure. Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
I never give them the correct phone number.
Really? Well, you know, and they built their whole business based on that, because that's the foundation of their whole marketing effort, is they just market back to those customers. I mean, if you buy anything at Radio Shack, they get your name, address, and you get a catalog.
Sure. I guess with the the advent of sophisticated computer systems that are reasonably inexpensive now, there's a lot of businesses that that's the first thing they do is take your name, address, and whatnot down. You know, the jewelry store in Melford, everybody that buys something, the name goes in there, and he's recorded exactly what it is you bought. He's got your wife's ring size and your shoe size and everything in there. And so I go in looking for something, he pops up and says, oh, she has a nice money, and she likes diamonds, and she likes emeralds. And you know, you bought her that three Christmases ago, so you've got to go to something different. So he's got all that customer information in his database. That's phenomenal. Okay, and it really helps. Helps me as a customer when I go in there. It also helps him. He's got a sale on diamond rings, and he knows Pete and so likes to buy those things. Boom, out goes a letter to those people and it's marketing.
That's right.
But there's a lot of businesses that haven't got that sophisticated yet.
And that's true, but it's very easy to do today with the PC, and I mean, you can...
Do you recommend to a lot of people that they do computerize and get...
Well, yeah, you know, or even you can do this by hand.
Oh, yes.
You know, I mean, you can do it by hand. It's more cumbersome, but you can do it. But, I suggest that, you know, this is the age of individualized marketing, database marketing. And if you don't know who your customers are, you can't do that. So
in a lot of businesses, they'll handwrite a sales receipt for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do that, they'll put your name on it and whatnot. And that's one way of capturing your customers, your sale.
Right.
How would those same businesses then capture the prospects?
Well, that's tougher. Okay, just people that are just looking around, that is tougher, unless you ask them. Or if you have some kind of a free drawing, in other words, you know, sign up to win a free lunch or whatever. You see that a lot in restaurants and things like that. Yeah, I had a floral shop one time. Very, very successful thing that they did. They, in fact, their business was really on the decline and really having a hard time. She was thinking about going out of business, and I suggested to her that she run a drawing good for free flowers for a year, so that, you know, you get flowers for your birthday, your anniversary, Mother's Day, Christmas, whatever, you get flowers, okay? Free. So come in and sign up and register to win free flowers for a year. So she did that, and she advertised that and promoted it in her store for a few weeks and had everybody come in and fill out a card that, you know, to win the free flowers for a year. Now, of course, on that card, what you had to do is you had to indicate, you know, your birthday and anniversary and your wife's birthday and, you know, all the special occasions, so that she would have the information there to know when to give you the flowers, right? Well, of course, she had lots and lots of people come in and sign up to win this and filled out the cards. She gave away the free flowers for a year, but now what does she have? A tremendous asset, because then what she did, she took all those cards, all that information, and she entered it into a contact manager program, so that, like, 2 weeks before my anniversary, it automatically spits out a postcard or a letter to me that says, Doug, your anniversary is coming up in 2 weeks, and we have a great anniversary book. I know your wife would really love it. We can go ahead and send that right on out. Can I go ahead and put that on your Visa card? Okay? Oh, it's tremendous. Turned her business. She's doing great. Just flat out turned the business around. Because, yeah. That's right. See, she automatically reminds you and automatically sends the gift. Okay?
So. Those special occasions like the big tip from last night when you got to send flowers.
Yeah, no, but she does have that. You know why she has that? Is because if I'm getting a letter from her every time before the anniversary and the birthday and all that, who am I going to think of when I? That's right. Okay. And it's tremendous. By the way, that's what her whole business is now. That's what her it totally saved her deal. Totally saved her business. Oh yeah, I've given that idea to a lot of people. Yeah.
Ben Pagelin in Saskatoon, Ben Pagelin, the guy that grows white asparagus?
No.
Well, he had a business called Everything's Coming Up Roses.
Oh, yeah.
And it just went out of business. Like, he hasn't done well with that. Probably because he's a Dutchman, you can't stand talking to him.
You know, by the way, that idea... Yeah, that idea can be applied to a lot of different things, okay? In fact, that idea came out of your quick fix strategies. Yeah. You've got that free report I gave you on Monday, okay? That idea was in there. I've given that idea to, you know, some gift stores. I've given it to, I actually gave it to a coffee place, you know, one of these, coffee houses that are really popular now. She gave away a free cup of coffee every day for a year. Got all the information, and then did a little newsletter that she sends to all of her customers, you know, and talks about coffee and all the different things, you know, there, and, you know, invites them back in for specials and things like that. So, yeah, a lot of things you can do. A lot of, all it takes is having the information, okay? So we want to start right now. This is, as you see, after the completion of the USP, this is the very first thing that you do, okay, is you set up a system for consistently capturing customer information. And usually the most effective way to do it is just right out ask.
Yeah, probably throw that many flowers away every year anyway.
Oh, yeah, sure. Easy. Okay? So that is step one. Now, step two is to identify and set up follow-up systems. Okay? Now, out of all the different projects, all the different steps that you are learning, this one is probably the one that's going to get the quickest and most immediate results. Okay? Like I said, this project two, is the project that's going to give you the most immediate results. Out of all the steps in the project, that's probably the one that's going to give the most immediate high-impact sales results. And the reason why is because you have this huge asset out there. If a company is only closing 3 out of 10 people, that means there are 7 out of 10 people who didn't buy, but could. Okay? For whatever reason, they didn't buy that the first time they were in or whatever. And by following up with them, you could probably convert one or two of them. And as we have seen, if you can only convert one or two, the closing ratio goes way up. And that has a huge impact on the bottom line. So, what do I mean by a follow-up system? What is a follow-up system? Well, I will tell you what a follow-up system is. Response to the vast silence about follow-up. What's follow-up? I'll tell you. Follow-up simply means that you have a systematic way of following up with all of the people who did not buy. Okay? Now, depending on the buying cycle, that follow-up can take place over the next few hours, next few days, next few weeks, next few months, next few years. Remember the concept of the moving parade. Okay? People may not be in the market today, but maybe next week, next month, next year, they will be. Okay? Just like you, Pete, you know, I initially talked to you a year ago, okay? You weren't ready then, but what did I do, you know, several months later, I followed up. Okay? Sent out another letter, another offer, and boom, this time you were ready to go. So follow-up stems from, number one, capturing the customer or capturing the prospect information so that you know who those prospects are. See, if I'd have talked to you on the phone, had not written down your name or address or phone number, well, that'd be it. You'd be history, okay? But see, I had that information, and I was able to follow up with you. I have this guy who owns this office building, and this is one of my clients, and he has these, he rents offices, okay? It's mainly executive offices and things like that, small little one, two people offices. And he's got a lot of offices to rent. And he's been having kind of a hard time getting them all filled up. And anyway, in identifying his current prospect to sales process, his current prospect to sales process looked like this. Okay, he would run an ad in the newspaper advertising office space. Okay, people would call wanting information, and that was it. Okay. People would call, and maybe they would come in, and maybe they wouldn't. He had no idea who they were, no idea what their needs were, or anything else. He'd call up and wonder how much the price was, and that was really it. Okay. So what we did then is, you know, people would call. Some would come in. Actually, about he had about 30% of the people who would call would come in. All right, 70%. You never hear from again, okay? They're just gone, okay? Out of these 30%, about another 30% would rent an office, okay? So let's say he gets 10 calls, three people had come in, and maybe one would rent, okay? Well, where's the asset here? Where's the hidden asset? The other 70% that are gone, and where else? And the other, yeah, and the other two over here who didn't rent. That's right. So, what do you do with the 70% over here who don't rent? Well, you follow up. Okay, maybe they're not ready to rent today. Maybe next week they will be. What do you do with the 70% over here who don't even bother to come in? You follow up again. Okay, but see, where the breakdown was occurring, he couldn't do this. He could not do this, and he could not do this. Why could he not do that? Didn't know who they were. So you need to add one more step in here. People call, capture the information. So what I did is I set up a little follow-up system for him so that now everybody that calls, the secretary immediately pulls out a little prospect card, fills it out, gets their name, their business, their address, what they're looking for, when they want to move, you know, as much information as she can get. And then, if they don't come in, she sends them out a little package, you know, talking about the advantages, talking about the USP of his business and why you should be there, okay? Then she follows that up with a phone call and tries to set up an appointment for him to come in. Okay? I hope so. We just started it this week, so it should.
No, did you just set up a script for her? Because some people get very testy with going in, inquiring, I don't really want to give you my name, and maybe throw that out
yep.
Because I would talk to
them. I know. Yeah, we did. We set up a little script, and the script was that, you know, listen, I'd like to send you out some information about our offices. I'd like to send you a brochure and send you a map and send you some, you know, other, and she has a whole packet full of stuff. So let me get your name and address, and I'll send this right out to you. And see, she does that with everybody, whether they agree to come in or not. So even the person that calls up and says, yeah, I'd like to come down and see the offices, can I come down today? She says, yeah, that'd be great, come in at 2 o'clock. Good, let me get your name and address and phone in case anything comes up. So she gets her name and phone number then, okay? People are just calling up for pricing. She says, well, that's fine. You don't know if you don't need it. You can't come in right now, but let me send you out a packet. And gets the name and all that.
That's not very intimidating to a process.
No.
No, it's not.
Yeah, now see, our apartments, same thing, same exact process. People would call up, how much are your apartments? In the past, people would call up, how much are your apartments? 550. Okay, thank you. Click. And that was it, you know. So now, and that was our meeting that we had with them yesterday during lunch, is we went out and we trained them on a little follow-up or a little script that now when people call up, they say, how many apartments? Well, thank you for calling. What are you interested in? Two-bedroom. Okay, well, let me tell you a little bit about our two-bedrooms. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And by the way, let me get your name and address and phone, and I'll send you out our brochure that they have on the apartments. We'll send it out to you. So same exact thing. You got their names. Because we did our customer survey, and we discovered that at least half of the people who rent apartments shop for a month or more. Yeah, they're shopping for a month or more. There is not. It's very, very tight. It's very hard to get an apartment. Yeah. It really is. But they still have about a 5-7% vacancy, and they want to get a little bit better mix of tenants, a little bit higher quality, and they want to raise the rents a little bit too, see? So we just set up a little follow-up system so she can capture the names of the people and send them out the brochure and all of that. Okay? So you got to start thinking this way. Guys, you got to start thinking about, capturing every single prospect that you come in contact with, that your client comes in contact with. And the reason why is that whole moving parade concept. Maybe they're not going to buy today, maybe not tomorrow, but next week. They could be. See? But you're never going to know that unless you have some kind of follow-up system in place. He's an apartment and he's a developer. He's got land that he develops. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Potential home buyer, yeah. See, now there's where you come in with alliances. See? Project 4 now, maybe he could set up an alliance with a real estate company. And in fact, I used to live in an apartment that had an alliance with a building company that what the deal was is if you lived in the apartments for a year, then they would apply 10% of your rent or 20% of your rent or whatever towards the down payment on a home. Yeah, neat deal. Yeah, it was a neat deal. And they had an alliance with the home builder. Mm-hmm. Probably. So, when it came time for us to build our home and move out of the apartment, that's the very first place we looked. I mean, we didn't go with them, as it turned out, but, we at least gave them a shot. Yeah, absolutely. We were. Yeah, you bet. So, anyway, that's alliances, so we're moving a little bit ahead. But you see the value of having as much information as possible about each one of those prospects. And this is a crucial element of the whole system is, we got to know who those people are so that we can go back and market to them. Okay? So now that's step two. So project number two, week one, you identify the sales process, the prospect, the sales process. Look for the lowest number. Look for which one can we have the greatest impact upon because that's the one we're going to probably want to then focus on. Also set up, your methodology for capturing the customer information because then you're going to come back in week two, set up that follow-up system and implement that for them and get them set up on doing that. All right? And when you talk about a system, this is very systematic. This is something that they should have in place that every person in the business knows how to do and does it day after day after day after day from now on. Because this is then going to form the foundation of a lot of other things that we do in terms of the one-on-one database marketing, Project 3, Project 4, all the other stuff that we do. Brilliant, isn't it? Just incredible.
You said this part of the program?
Huh? Oh, yeah.
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 Have you ever done any work with
Drew? Yeah, I have funeral homes. I can't remember recently when, but I know I have. Well, but see, the thing about it is, remember the concept we talked about this morning of the market, and the pie? Okay. Well, the market is a certain size. Okay, and you can cut into that. I'm trying to remember why I did it. I know I did a really, really interesting deal with a funeral home once in Orillia, Ontario, and I can't remember the details of it. I don't know. I think of it, I'll tell you. Okay. So, step one, identify the sales process, implement a system to capture customer information. Step two, identify and implement follow-up systems. Okay? So, you guys want to read all of that stuff. Okay. Step three is to customize a sales training system. Okay? Step three is the sales training system. Now, guys, I got to tell you, this particular step could be an entire project on its own, could be an entire profit center on its own, or could be your entire consulting practice on its own. That's kind of what Rich does, okay? And I do a lot of this as well. Now, I will tell you that we have a variety of tools that you can utilize in this step. What I'm going to give you today is the actual sales training, the basic sales training workshop that we do for clients. And you will have the workbook and all the materials and everything that you'll need to be able to go out and do this on your own. We also have a very complete, very intensive 18-hour sales training class. It's an excellent course, and I developed it, and it's wonderful, and it works great. It's typically designed to be done over a 4 or 5 session period. Okay, there's a number of different modules that you. There's actually 5 different modules that you take your people through. Now, I will typically not do that 18-hour sales training course, you know, as part of this project. That's over and above. I typically charge a fee, you know, depending on the size of the group and things like that, but usually about, you know, $1,800 to $2,000 minimum to take them through that course. Now, we're not going to go through that, and I'm not going to give you the materials on that today, but if you are at all interested in that, I will certainly make that available to you and help you to do it when you want to do it. Because for the most part, what you'll be doing is just this basic sales training. Now, the reason I say that is because most of the businesses who you work with, most of the smaller and medium-sized clients and business owners that you come in contact with, the people who work for them typically have had like 0 sales training. Okay? And so anything you can give them is better than what they've had in the past. And specifically what we're trying to do here, well, you tell me, what specifically is the training designed to do, or what should it be doing? What are we working on? Increase the closing rate and increase the average customer worth, upselling. Okay, that's what we're going to be basically training them on. Okay, so in the sales training that you do, there's really 2 broad subjects, 2 main things that you want to try to accomplish. Okay, the first thing, and by the way, this is not particularly necessarily spelled out in your manual, so let me just review this with you and make sure you take note of this. In the sales training, the first thing that you need to train people on is integration of the USP. Integrate the USP into their sales process. For example, with our apartment community that we're working with, their USP, there's 3 points to their USP. Number one, they have more amenities for less rent. Number two, their rent is $50 to $100 lower than all the other apartment communities in the area. And number three, they have the most convenient location to the freeway and downtown Salt Lake and all that of any of the apartment communities in the area. That's their USP. Typically, when a person would call up the rental office, the question is either, do you have apartments for rent, or how much are your apartments? Well, in the past, the girls there, being quite untrained, would just simply answer the questions. How much are your apartments? Oh, they're $550. Okay, goodbye, thanks, click, and that's the end of it. Okay? So what is the first thing that we train the girls to do? You capture them and then sell the USP. Okay, so now people call up, how much are your apartments? Well, thank you for calling. Let me tell you a little bit about our apartments. Now, were you looking for a two-bedroom? Yes, okay. Well, let me just tell you, here we have more amenities for less price than anywhere else in the area. We also have great convenient location here. We're only 6 minutes from downtown, just off the freeway, convenient to work, school, church, blah, 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 blah. And our rent is typically $50 to $100 lower than any other apartment community in the area. Our rent's only $550. You're going to compare other similar units here, $6, $650 and more. When could you schedule a time to come down and see it? Okay? Now, which is going to be more compelling to probably get people in the door? How much are your apartments? $550. Click. Or telling them the USP.
First thing that you get from the guy on the other end of the court is the impression that it might be a slum apartment because it's less money.
That's right. That's why you have to say all the amenities that we have. We have more amenities. Yeah, we have the pool, we have the weight room, we have the game room, we have, you know, large two-bedroom units, you have, you know, covered parking, all the amenities that they have.
If they are shopping around, you immediately set yourself up as the front runner.
That's right.
Everybody else has to beat you.
That's right, because we have more amenities than everybody else, but the price is lower.
Everybody else is paying $600.
That's right. And the other places are not capturing the information either, so... So that's the first thing we want to train them on, okay? All right, now, well, that brings up one. Let me just digress for 1 second here, okay? Typically, when the USP is a price orientation, okay, price leadership orientation, just as Ben said, people might perceive that it's cheap, that it's low class, that it's no good. And this is true with any product, no matter what it might be, that's appealing on a price basis, okay? Unless, and this goes back to what I was teaching you this morning, you have to quantify, you have to give specific reasons, you have to tell people, if it is lower, why is it lower? Okay? Why are prices lower at Walmart? Well, because it's the largest retailer in the whole freaking world. We buy in volume, and so consequently we get a better price, okay? So, on the apartments, well, you're lower, your price is $50 to $100 less. Well, how come? Good question. Are they slummier? Is it full of a bunch of gangs and undesirables? Why is it less? So, is it out in the boonies? So, we had to think of an answer, okay? We had to think of an answer, and we had to train the people on how to answer that question. Okay? Well, and the answer is, and this won't mean anything to you guys, but it will mean something to you, because you're from this area. The reason why they are lower is because our apartments, first of all, are located in North Salt Lake, just outside of Bountiful. Okay, now, Bountiful is a very affluent, upscale area. North Salt Lake is very industrial. Okay? That's one reason. Second reason is because it's owned by a small local independent company. It's not part of a big national company, and it's been in the family since day one, and their overhead is lower, and you know all that. Yeah, exactly. But the main reason is because it is in North Salt Lake, not in Bountiful. Okay. They might as well admit it up front. That's right. So we say that. In fact, they're trained in the actual sales presentation. Before they even tell them the price or anything else, they say, yes, our apartments are located just outside of Bountiful in North Salt Lake. Okay? And we say, and it is just outside. It's like 2 blocks from the Bountiful cutoff, okay? But see, if you say you live in Bountiful, that's automatically worth a lot more money than saying you live in North Salt Lake, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not like the one here.
Yeah, I hear there's no smoking. Okay? So see, now that's justifiable. But that could be also perceived as a negative You know, what's your impression if I say North Salt Lake versus Bountiful?
Smoke, fumes.
Oil refineries, yeah. Yeah. You know, you guys drove in all those big oil refineries. That's North Salt Lake. Okay. So, anyhow, that's the justification. But if you get outside of Bountiful, just a couple of blocks. Okay? So we turn it into a positive. Anyhow, so that's kind of digressing a little bit. But, again, it goes back to justification as to why you're doing what you're doing with the USP. Okay? So, sales training, you want to teach them how to integrate the USP into their sales presentation. How to talk about that all the time. How to teach the ladies that come into Juliet's about looking better, feeling better, and saving money when they buy the custom-fitted bra and so on. Okay? Then the second thing you want to teach them is basic selling skills. Basic selling skills such as, qualifying prospects, identifying needs, presenting properly, asking for the sale, overcoming objections, and so on and so on. Okay? And so that's what we teach in the basic sales training course. Even if you only teach this, only teach the integration of the USP, they're going to be far, far, far ahead of where they were before. Okay? Make sure that everyone is telling the same story, everybody's talking about the same stuff, everybody is selling that USP. All right, so what I want to do with you now, then, is to take you through this basic sales training course. Now, what we're going to be focusing on in this course is number two, okay? We're going to take a break before we do this. But what we're going to be focusing on here is number two, all right? Your integration of the USP, you'll know that after you've done the USP. Okay, we're going to teach you the basic selling skills that you want to teach them, and we put it together in kind of a fun, easy to work with, easy to do little workshop here. Okay, question?
No, I'm selling illiterate.
Are you? Well, okay. Hopefully, you won't be after we finish this next part. So. Yeah. There you go. Okay, go ahead and we'll end this here, and then we'll come back and do.